Okay, first order of business today, let's take a look at the exercise lesson 9. Correct that together. Exercise is lesson 9. Exercise 9A, the class question, why need not the ending of an adjective be the same as the ending of a noun it modifies? What's the answer to that? Why need not the ending of an adjective be the same as the ending of the noun it modifies?
Mark? One thing, the endings for adjectives are fewer in number than the endings for nouns. For instance, the masculine adjectives have only one set of endings, but the nouns have 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Okay, there's part of the issue there. It's not quite as simple as that, however, because we will see such things as third declension adjectives and third declension nouns a little bit later on. So for what we know right now, that holds true. There's still one element here. Go ahead,
the,
Phil.
Same declension.
Yes. Right. That's kind of what your word, what was implicit in what Mark said also. But that's the essential problem, is that even though you've got the same kinds of endings, both on adjectives and on nouns, the same kinds of endings, the endings will not necessarily agree because the declensions won't necessarily agree. In other words, you may have a masculine noun that's first declension, but if you put a masculine adjective upon that, the masculine adjectives will take second declension endings. So they'll both be masculine, but one of them's got first declension, one of them's got second declension endings, and therefore they won't rhyme or they won't be the same. So that's the essential point. All you need to say is that they may have the same, they may be seen the same in every other respect, but if they have different declensions, they can be different endings. So the problem essentially is this: our gender distinctions and our declension distinctions aren't matching. So that's the reason. Okay, any questions about that? It's just a good observation of what we've seen for quite some time now. Okay, then exercise 9B, he's giving you a vocabulary list here to use in that. So you've got your dictionary forms here, adjectives and nouns both. And then you're asked in exercise 9B to put an X in the parentheses before the Greek expressions at the left, which below, at the right below, which correctly render the English expressions to the left of them. Okay, number one, the good man. How am I going to say that in Greek? Yes, ho kalos anthropos. Ho kalos anthropos. Okay, what's wrong with the first choice there? Kalos ho anthropos. What's the problem there?
The first predicate.
Yeah, that's a first predicate position, and that would be saying what? The man is good. Right, the man is good. And ho anthropos kalos, that's the second predicate position. So neither one of those will work. Those are both predicate positions. So ho kalos anthropos is the only one that fits. It's the only one that's attributive. Okay, number two, the righteous Lord. How am I going to say that?
Ho kurios hodikaios.
Yes, ho kurios hodikaios. Okay, ho kurios hodikaios. And what position would you call that from the four positions that you know?
Second attributive.
Right, second attributive, where you have the article repeated after the noun and then the adjective. And the other two, ho kurios dikaios, and dikaios ho kurios, they're not fitting here. And let's see. What's the problem in those? Well, it's really the same problem. You've got two predicate positions there. Okay. So what he's trying to get you to do is just make a discrimination between predicate and attributive positions. Number three, the days are evil. How would we say that in Greek? You can just all vocalize it together if you want. Right, okay. Hi, hey, merai, porai. That's what you call an uncertain sound. Right, yeah. It's an uncertain sound. Okay, hi, hey, merai, porai. Okay, and what position would that be labeled?
Second
predicate position. Right, second predicate position. The other two are attributive positions, so they don't work. Okay, number four, the eternal love. Yes, hey agape, hey ionios. Okay, and that's what position?
Second
attributive. Okay, and the problem with the first choice there, ionios he agape, agape is position. What's the problem with the second choice?
Ionia.
Yeah, it's an impossible word. The ionia you'll never see. Remember, ionios is an adjective that takes the same forms for masculine and feminine. So there aren't any forms like ionia. Okay? I just threw that in there just to see if you remembered that. All right? Number five, the work is holy. How would you say that? Yes, hagion to ergon, the first choice. And what position is that? First predicate position. First predicate position, where the adjective's out front. Okay, number six, the beloved disciple. Yes, homatetes ho agape tos. Homatetes ho agape tos. Okay, then what's wrong with our first choice there? Ho matetes ho agapetes. Right. Yes, you've got a feminine form. Well, actually, agapetes is really more of an impossible form. There, you'll never see an A to Sigma ending like that on an adjective unless it's genitive. Feminine, first declension feminine, genitive singular. There is an A to Sigma for that, but not in a nominative form. Even if this were feminine, it would be a agape te. And the noun is masculine, so it just doesn't fit. Then the last choice here, homatetes he agape tos. What's the problem there? Yeah, you got the wrong article there. You can't repeat a masculine article in the first one, a feminine article in the second one, and have them be in an attributed position like that. Okay. Number seven, the angels are holy. How would you say that? Yes, good. Hagioi hoi angeloi. And that's what position?
First
predicate position, right. Okay, the other two are both both attributive positions. Number eight, the new way. Yes, hei hodos, hei kaine, the last choice here. And that's what position? Second attributive, right, second attributive. And the problem with the first one, hei hodos, hei kainos, is that, what is the problem?
Masculine.
Right, yeah, you put a masculine form of the adjective on the feminine form of the noun. And what's happened here, the error has been that the person has looked at the rhyming pattern and tried to copy that instead of, hei hodos and hei kainos, but it doesn't work. Hodos is a second declension feminine noun, so the adjective is going to have to be a feminine form, and the feminine forms of the adjectives use first declension endings, not second. So, and then hodos ho kaine, it just kind of reversed and mixed it the opposite direction. Got the wrong article and the wrong, the wrong article here, but the right ending. And then the third try, we got it right. Right article and right ending. All right. Number nine, the brothers are dead. How would you say that in Greek? Yes. Oi adelphoi nekroi. And position?
Second
predicate position, right. Second predicate position with the adjective after the noun and its article. Okay. The others are just attributive positions. Yes?
I was remembering when we were doing nominatives.
Yes.
Remember, we have the problem of making concord between the plural of one and the plural of the other.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a concord between the plural of one and the other. Is this the case in adjectives?
Yes. In adjectives, whether it's predicate or attributive position, there will be concord. Because, see, when the adjective is modifying the noun, and even in a predicate construction where the relationship is stated in English with a form of the verb to be, still in Greek, see, remember in Greek, they don't need a form of the verb to be. They're just using an adjective in a certain position. And the rules that govern the concord on the adjective are still going to apply, whether it's attributive or predicate. So, singular plurals.
In the next one, faithful, there's not really a multiple idea in that itself.
What was that again?
Like dead and faithful.
Uh-huh.
There's no multiple idea in those. I mean,
Oh, I see what you're saying, yes. Yeah, in English... In English, we don't. Our adjectives don't carry a number idea to them. See, dead, faithful. You know, one person could be dead, or two people could be dead, or a multitude could be dead, and faithful, same thing. But notice that the Greek does have a plural form of that. And that's just because of concord, and it's not coming across in the translation in any particular way. The only place in which an adjective's plural forms will come across in English as a plural form would be in the case of a substantive, where suppose we wanted to say dead ones or something like this, then we might say necroi and get a plural sense in English also. Okay? So it's just the nature of the beast. We're talking about an adjective, and in English anyway, adjectives don't decline for number, whereas in Greek they will. But the Greek isn't necessarily, when he looks at necroi here, he's not necessarily thinking of the concept of dead being plural. He's only thinking of the thing that the word dead is modifying being plural. So in other words, this ending is just kind of swinging you back to the original noun. Okay? Then the disciples are faithful. Let's say that. Yes, hoi mathetai pistoi. Pistoi. Because remember, mathetai is first declension masculine, so it's going to have second declension type endings on the adjective. And that's the second predicate position again. Okay, and then the mistake in the first one is that you have pistai, you have a feminine form there, stuck onto the masculine. And same in the last one there. Okay. Number 11, the works are evil. Yes, ponera ta erga. Ponera ta erga. What position is that? First predicate position, right. First predicate position of the two attributive position. Number 12, the dead are beloved. Yes, hoi nekroi agape toi. Hoi nekroi agape toi. That's pretty straightforward, just a second predicate position there. Number 13, the Lord is righteous. Yes. Dikaios ho kurios. First predicate position. Okay, and the other two are just, see, kurios ho dikaios, that's kind of really messed up. That's so you swap the adjective for the noun here. I don't even know how you would translate such a thing. Dikaios, you could if you put an article on, you could make it the righteous one. But Lord, kurios is never an adjective, as far as I know. So you have to have something, lordly is the righteous one or something. I don't know. Okay. Number 14, the righteous are faithful. Yes. Pistoi hoi dikaioi. Pistoi hoi dikaioi. The first predicate position here. Number 15, the eternal Lord. Yes, ho ionios kurios. Ho ionios kurios. The first one is the ionion, they put either, that's either the accusative form of the masculine or it's a neuter form of the adjective, and that doesn't fit. And ho kurios ionios is the predicate position, so we missed it on that one. So the last choice is the only one. By the way, it's interesting, this word ionios, most of you are aware that the Jehovah's Witnesses and other groups argue that the word only means age-abiding or only for a certain period of time, so it doesn't mean eternal. As it turns out, the word ionios is used to describe God in Romans, and it means the eternal God is our refuge, something like that. And if you're going to say that ionios, when it's used for the lake of fire, is only for a period of time, you're also going to have to say that eternal life is only for a period of time, and that God himself is only for a period of time. Okay, exercise 9C. So that the Greek sentences below will correctly translate the accompanying English sentences, fill in the blank spaces with A, the proper forms of kalos, and if necessary, also the proper forms of the article. That is, some blanks require only a form of kalos, while other blanks require a form of the article and the form of kalos. So be aware of that. In some cases, you're going to need the article, in some cases, you're not. Number one, the good earth brought forth the fruit. Hey, blank, gay, e blastis en ton carpon. What do we have in the blank? Kale, yes, kale. Okay. Number two, the good earth brought forth the fruit. Hege, blank, eblastisen, toden, carpon. Okay, he kale. Now you need he kale. Now again, the point he's illustrating between sentences one and two is the first and versus second attributive positions. So if you've got hey gay there, the only way, and now you're going to have to put your adjective afterwards, the only way you're going to make that attributive is to add the article also. So it's got to be hey gay, hey kale. If I didn't put the article on it, what would I be saying? Actually, it'd be unintelligible for the whole sentence, but... Yeah. Yeah, you'd be saying the earth is good, brought forth the fruit, or something like that, and the rest of it doesn't make any sense. Once you said the earth is good, you've already made a statement. You already have a complete thought. Now, you could put and brought forth the fruit, or something like that, and you could make another clause, make two independent clauses that way. But you're in real trouble if you put a predicate position in there when it's supposed to be attributive, you see, and vice versa. If you've got a predicate position and you make it attributive instead, then you haven't even made a statement. You don't have any verb form idea there. Okay, number three, the earth is good. Hege blank. Kale, right, kale. So you've got several things you've got to think about here. You've got to think about the gender, the number, the case of the noun to get your adjective right, and then you've got to also think about the position. So you want to make this a predicate position, so you're not repeating the article here. So it's just hege, kale. The number four, the earth brought forth the good fruit. Hege, blastisen, ton karpon, blank. Ton kalon, yes, ton kalon. Omicron new endings in both of those. Again, that's again the second, second attributive position. Number five, the Lord calls the good slaves. Phone tus blank dulus okurios, excuse me. Kalus, yes, omicron upsilon sigma. Kalus. Number six, the slaves are good. Blank hoi duloi. Kaloi hoi duloi. Right. Kaloi hoi duloi. Number seven, a man planted the good tree. To blank dendron anthropos futusen. Kalon, yes. To kalon dendron. Okay, now that would actually be the same form for accusative or for nominative. But this is accusative here because of the fact that we have a verb and another noun in the nominative. Number eight, the trees are good. Tadendra blank.
Kala.
Kala, right, kala. Okay, questions on any of these problems that you had? Basic exercise is recognizing the difference between attributive and predicate positions. Yes?
So the predicate, you'd only do that whenever you had nominative,
right? Right, a predicate position, let me think now. I can't imagine any other situation that you would have. No, you're always going to have it in the nominative case because you're making a statement. It's a self-sufficient statement. And in all cases, you're dealing with a noun and a nominative that's being claimed. It's becoming the subject of a sentence, in effect, even though there's no stated verb. So, in fact, if you look at the paradigm they gave you for these positions, back on, where was it? Top of page 54. When he's defining these predicate positions, it's adjective, article, noun, nominative. So they go ahead and specify the noun being in the nominative case because that's the only situation you're going to find on a predicate position. But attributive positions may be in any case. In other words, you might find attributive adjective in genitive, in dative, in accusative, nominative, any and all of those. Okay. Now let's go back to lesson 10. We're going to finish this next little section here, then we're going to go back and we'll do the exercises on this together in class here, at least as many of them as we can get through today, because we need to do those before we go on, at least to get this inductive method that he's using. So on page 57, yesterday we had just introduced ourselves to the genitive case, and he's doing it by giving you a whole series of forms here, phrases in Greek that illustrate the genitive case forms. And we left off about the middle of the page, and we want to look now at a few examples in which adjectives are also used. And the two adjectives used are kalos and mikros. And so sentence 17, ho doulos tes kales ekklesias, the slave of the good church. Or ho doulos tes ekklesias tes kales, means the same thing. What's the difference between those two sentences or phrases?
First and second.
Yeah, first and second attributive positions, right. So you can see that your genitive forms in attributive positions are going to do the same kind of things that the others have done. Number 19, hodulos tes mikras ekklesias, and hodulos tes ekklesias tes mikras, the slave of the small church. And the main point here that he's emphasizing is notice that the forms mikras have an alpha rather than the eta. And this is what you've already come to expect by the examples you've seen in the nominative and accusative, that If the stem of the vowel of the noun ends in a vowel or row, then it'll take alpha type endings rather than eta. So the same thing carries into the genitive case, at least in the singular. Then in the plural, hodulos ton ekklesion ton mikron, the slave of the small churches. There you get your good old omega nu endings in the genitive plural. Doesn't make any difference what the stem was or anything else, the clench or anything else. You always get the same endings there. And then number 22, hodulos tu kalu teknu. There's a neuter form, and you can see that the neuter form in the second declension looks just like the masculine in the second declension. And so far, from the forms that we've got, the nominative and the accusative, it may have been somewhat of a question to you as to why we classified the neuters in the second declension, because their endings didn't look like the endings of the masculines in the second declension. But you'll see that here, the genitive ending is exactly the same, and you'll see it also with the dative. The dative is exactly the same. So that's why they're considered in the same declension. Okay. Now, before continuing this lesson, the students should complete exercise 10A, 10B, and 10C. So let's take a look at 10A, 10B, and 10C. I didn't assign this, so I don't expect you to have it done. So if you want to go ahead and write these in class here as we go, that's fine. I just want because we want to kind of do this by induction together anyway. And especially exercise 10B, I think that's perhaps the most important one here. And I'd like to go through that with us together, both as getting the exercise done, but also as a learning exercise. Now, the first part here is just a matter of going through the examples on in lesson 10 here that he's given you and filling out the paradigms. So it says, fill in the forms of the genitive, G, and the accusative, A, singular of the nominative, genitive, and accusative, plural, and the nominative, genitive, and accusative, plural in the paradigms below, supplying the proper form of the article in each case. So now our paradigms are becoming a little bit more complete. Now we've got the genitive form. The only thing that's left is the dative form. We'll fill that in later. So, hey, diatheke, under that for the genitive, we should have what would be your guess? Yes, taste diatheke, taste diatheke, eta sigma ending, taste diatheke. And then the accusative, you already know, tain diathekein, eta nu, both of those. Okay, and the plural nominative, hi diathekai. Had that before, just a regular second first declension feminine. And then what would be the genitive plural from what you've seen here on these examples? Yes, tone diathekon. Right, omega nu. Tone diathekon. Omega nu on both of those. And that's a safe bet for all the genitive plurals. Actually, you can go through all this paradigm, fill out all the genitive plurals, and never have to even worry about what declension they are. Unfortunately, the other ones is not that way. Okay, and then the accusative is what? What do you recall for the accusative plural? First declension. Yeah, tas diathekas. Tas diathekas, alpha sigmas. Now notice, too, remember, too, that you get alpha sigma type endings in the plurals, regardless of whether it was eta or alpha in the singular. Remember that rule about having to use alpha type endings in the singular for if the stem ends in a row or vowel only applies to the singulars. The plurals are all going to be the same. And they're generally going to have alpha type endings. Okay, then, let's see. Let's go across here to doxa. Hey, doxa. What would be the genitive form on this? Now, don't just guess at this. You have to kind of look at the examples. This one's a little tricky. Yes, it's taste doxase. Taste doxase, eta sigma. Now, the reason I said it's tricky is, what would you predict on this if you didn't, huh? Yeah, you might have predicted doxas, because it's hey doxa, and tain doxan, it seems to be an alpha type. And this is one of those, some other kinds, remember? You know, there were those that were predictably alpha. The stem ended in a row or a vowel, then you had alpha type endings. And then there were some other kinds, like glossa or something gave us. Well, this is one of those some other kinds. But this is the funny thing about these some other kinds category. In the nominative and accusative, they have alpha type endings in the singular. But in the genitive and dative, they go back to the eta type endings. So it's taste doxase. And you'll find that the dative also will have an eta type ending. So that's the oddball thing about this class of nouns. Doxa is one of them. And there's quite a few of them that end in double sigma that are in this category. Thalassa and glossa and words like that. So you have to keep on your toes, and just the only way to learn these is just to learn them as part of your vocabulary. You see, in the vocabulary, what feature have we mentioned so far that would tell you this information in the dictionary form of this? If you looked it up in the lexicon, how would you know that this particular first declension noun is one of these some other kind?
Right.
They give you the genitive singular form as the second piece of information. And this is one of the reasons why they do that. Because this will help you identify which ones. For example, you say, hey, doxa, comma, eta sigma, comma, hey, with the article. And that eta sigma tells you it's one of these other kinds, because you're seeing that in the genitive it's going to the etas. So that's the information that will tell you exactly what it is. And you'll find later when we get to third declension, it's also necessary to put that genitive form there to specify the declension as well. Okay, the accusative, tain doxan. Again, that goes back to the alpha again. Tain doxan. Realize, remember, that the article is always going to be eta types. So don't make a mistake in saying tain doxan or something like that. The article is fixed. But doxa is one of those, some other kinds that has the alpha types in the nominative accusative. Okay, then the plurals, hi doxai, ton doxon, omega news for the genitive plural, tas doxas, alpha sigma for the plural accusative. Questions on that? Okay, then hey ekklesia, this is again one that's whose stem ends in a vowel, iota, so you're going to get alpha type endings. So what would be my genitive singular form of that? Yes, tais ekklesias. So eta sigma ending on the article, alpha sigma ending on the noun, and then the accusative, tain ekklesion, and the plurals, hi ekklesiae, alpha iota, genitive plural again, omega nous all across the board, ton ekklesion, omega nu, and tas ekklesias for the plural accusative. Okay, now, mathetes. This is also first declension, but it's a masculine. So in this paradigm on this page, we have all the different types of first declensions you're going to see. but this one's a masculine first declension, ho mathetes. Now, what is the genitive form for this? You have to determine this by inspection of the examples.
Two mathetu,
omicron and upsilon, even on the mathetu. This is again something you have to remember, because this is where the first declension masculines differ from the feminines. I guess really in the nominative and the genitive, they differ from the feminines.
What is that, a masculine genitive?
Yeah, it's the same kind of ending you're going to see on the second declension masculine nouns. Right. That's the oddball feature of it. You see, what would you expect if this was a regular, run-of-the-mill, average, everyday, first declension feminine type noun ending in the genitive? You would expect it two mathetes or something like that. See, but you see, if you say two mathetes, that's going to get confused with the nominative form. The nominative form's already mathetes. Mm-hmm. You see, so that may be, I don't know, you can't really guess as to how they came up with these endings, but you can see the fact that if you followed the normal first declension type of forms, you would have a confusion now, because you've already used mathetes for your nominative, and the feminine second declension, like doxase or dfa case, you see, has eta sigma. So they, in this case, they revert back to the second declension type ending, and so it's two mathetu. So this is kind of a half breed, you might say. It's got endings that look like first declension feminines, but it's also got some endings that look like second declension masculines. So it's two mathe two. So when we fill out the paradigm, we'll call special attention to this one too, because it's one that's easy to make a mistake about. Then the accusative is tone mathe teen. Tone mathe teen. Tone because it's... masculine noun, and that determines the gender of the, that determines the form of the article, and the article, of course, is going to use second declension endings in the masculines, but it's a masculine first declension noun, so that's got ada nu in the accusative ending. So tone, omicron nu, mathetain, ada nu. Plural nominative, hoi mathetai. This is just filling out from what you know before. Hoi mathetai. And genitive plural, tone mathetón, omega nus. So they always come out nice. Omega nus for genitive plural. And then tus mathetas. Tus mathetas. Omicron upsilon sigma for the article and alpha sigma for the noun. Questions on any of those? Okay. First declension nouns with adjectives of the first and second declensions on the next page. So now we're going to put our standard adjective, kalos here, or dikaios, and stick it on the first declension noun. First, the first declension masculine noun. So we have ho kalos prophetes. Ho kalos prophetes. What will be the genitive form for that phrase? This is just like mathetes. Yes, tu kalu mathetu. Right, prophetu, good, thank you. Tu kalu prophetu, thank you. Tu kalu prophetu. Then the accusative will be ton kalon prophetain. Ton kalon prophetain. Eta nu on the prophetain and omicron nu on the kalon. And again, the endings aren't rhyming because we've got a different declension. We've got second declension endings on masculine adjectives, but first declension endings on this masculine, this particular masculine noun. Number, plural nominative. Hoi kaloi prophetai. Hoi kaloi prophetai. Off the iota on the noun. And genitive, tone, kalon, propheton, omega nus, all the way across. Tone, kalon, propheton. One unfortunate feature of the genitive plural forms being all the same is that if you don't know the word, if you haven't seen it before, and you've seen a phrase only in the genitive plural, you don't know what that thing is in the nominative. You know what I mean? It could be a third declension. It could be a second declension. It could be a first declension. It could be a second declension feminine. It could be any of those. You can't tell the gender. You can't tell anything from it. Huh? Yeah, right. So there's advantages and disadvantages. It depends on which direction you're going. Yes?
On the translation of the, for instance, on the singular genitive would be of the good prophet.
Right.
Of
the singular genitive would be of the good prophet. Of the plural genitive would be of the good prophets. Okay?
That brings up a point. That,
yes.
The page where we had taste and
Oh yes, right. Good point. Yeah, if it's anarthrous, you're going to have to go by context. Usually, though, it's not going to be that much of a problem because the kinds of positions. You see, a genitive noun is generally going to be stuck onto another noun or something and modify it. It's going to function. Genitive phrases function like adjectives almost most of the time. And so if it was ekklesias in the genitive singular, then it would probably be attached to some other noun. In other words, you'd be talking about the love of the church or something like this, the love of a church or something, and there you'd see it tacked onto a noun. Whereas if it's the accusative, it's going to be a direct object. And that's usually going to be enough information to make the difference. You'll see a verb. You'll see another noun. You'll see this thing will be held in a certain position where it's not just stuck onto a noun modifying it. So, and it's probably not very often that you're going to see it in anarthrous. You see fewer anarthrous nouns than you do articulate nouns. So, but it's potentially a point of confusion. That's for sure. And I'm sure one could construct a sentence that is totally ambiguous in this respect, if you were ingenious enough. All right? Sounds like this class is developing a real skill for finding the exceptions. That's the way I was when I took the class, too. Okay. Did we finish this one? I guess we didn't. Tus kalus prophetas for the accusative plural. Tus kalus prophetas. Okay. Then, he dikaya chera. For the genitive singular will be what? Yes, tastikaias, cheras. Right. Both your noun and adjective here. Either the adjective ends in a iota. The stem ends in a iota, and the noun ends in a row. So both of them are going to take the alpha type endings. Mm-hmm. So it'll be tastikaias, cheras. Okay. Then the accusative tain dikayan cheran after the same model. Tain dikayan cheran. And the plural nominative, hai dikai cherai. Lots of I's in that. Hai dikai cherai. So everything rhymes there. And genitive plural, ton dikaion cheron. Omega news straight across the board. And accusative plural, tas dikaias cheras. Tas dikaias cheras. Alpha sigmas across the board. Questions on any of those? Okay, it's just putting everything together. Second declension now, a little bit easier. The masculines, hodulos, the model here, genitive would be what? Tu dulu, yes, tu dulu. Homework on upsilon ending. Tu dulu. And then the accusative, ton dulon, omicron nu, excuse me, omicron nu in both of those. Plural nominative, hoi duloi, omicron iota. Genitive plural, ton dulon, omega news. It's a standard. And then accusative, tus dulus, that you've already seen. Omicron, upsilon, sigma, both of those. Now the feminine second declension, really the same thing, except for our article now is going to be different. So it's hei hodos, tais hodu. So eta sigma on the article, because that's feminine. And it's the feminine forms of the article take the first declension endings. But the noun is a second declension ending, so it's tais hodu. Tais hodu. So this one really doesn't rhyme. Okay?
The feminine in the second declension don't go back to the first.
No. Right. Just the first declension masculines that are odd in that respect. The second declension feminines are just exactly like the first declension. I mean, the second declension masculines as far as the noun. Huh? Just the article's different, right. The article's different, but the endings on the nouns are just exactly the same. Okay? And that holds for the dative also, as you'll see. All right, then, tain hodon for the accusative singular, omicron nu on the noun. Hai hodoi, alpha iota on the article, omicron iota on the noun, and ton hodon, omega nu on both of those. So again, you see that they're coming out the same in the genitive plural. Then tas hodus, alpha sigma on the article, omicron upsilon sigma on the noun. Okay, the neuter, to technon, what's the genitive form for that, for the neuter second declension? Tu technu, yes, tu technu, omicron upsilon. Just the same as the masculine and the feminine second declensions have. So the genitive form just the same as the masculine form. Tu technu. And then to technon, we've already seen. Same form for the accusative as there was for the nominative. Plural nominative is ta techna, alpha endings. Ta techna. Genitive plural, as you can predict by now, is what? Yeah, ton technon, omega news. Both of them omega news. And then ta techna again for the accusative. Ta techna. Questions on any of those? Just want to make sure you have the right paradigms there. And then you can double check those for review and so forth. We're going to wait till we get through the next chapter and cover the dative case also. Then we're going to put the master paradigms on the board that you must commit to memory. We'll put the whole works on there and give you all the whole system. Okay. Exercise 10B, this is kind of an interesting one, so let's take a look at it, and we'll go through it and do it in class here, because I want to use it as a teaching mechanism here. In this exercise, nouns means nouns of the first and second declensions, unless further restricted. So he is only talking about first and second declension nouns. We're not worried about third declension nouns. So, in other words, some of the conclusions we draw here, some of the statements we make here, may not be totally true if we include the third declension nouns. But we're only talking about first and second declension. Basing your answers on the illustrative expressions in paragraph 73, indicate whether the following statements are true or false by placing T or F in the parentheses at the right of each. Okay, excuse me. You might want to take a look at paragraph 73. That's the first page of chapter 10 in your textbook. And those are the examples that you're looking at. And then if you just remember what we've just done in this previous exercise here, these are true or false questions. Number one, the genitive singular of all first declension nouns ends in eta sigma. Is that true or false? Okay, that's false. That's false. What is the exception there? Okay. There's really a couple of them. There's the situation where you've got mathe tu. That's a first declension noun, but its genitive singular ends in omicron and upsilon. What would be another possible exception to that? Huh? Yeah. Okay. Right. Hera, anything like that where you've got a stem ending in a roll or a vowel, then they're going to be alpha sigmas. Except for those some other kinds, they'll go back to eta sigma. But yes, so we've got two situations here. Number one, the masculine first declensions, they'll go to omicron and upsilon. And number two, the ones whose stem ends in a roll or a vowel, they'll go to alpha sigma. Okay, so the answer is false. Then number two, the genitive plural of all nouns ends in omega nu. Yeah, that's true. That's true. You'll find that's true even if there's the third declension nouns. Okay. So that's true. Number three, the genitive singular of all second declension nouns ends in omicron upsilon. All second declension nouns. That's true. That's true. Right. It's true of the masculines, the feminines, and the neuters. Now the neuters do differ from the masculine and feminines in the nominative and accusative, but not in the genitive. The genitive are the same. So omicron upsilon all across the board. Number four, the genitive singular of all first declension feminine nouns ends in eta sigma. That's false. Okay. And what's the exceptions there?
In row,
right. And if the stem ends in a row or a vowel. If the stem ends in a row or a vowel, then it'll be alpha sigma. Okay, number five, the genitive singular of all masculine nouns ends in omicron upsilon. That's true. All masculine nouns, because, so you've got masculine nouns, so far we've only got first and second declension nouns to worry about. Now, it won't be true of third declension nouns, we'll get to that later. But, between first and second declension nouns, the first declension ones like mathe tes have omicron upsilon in the genitive. And of course, your second declension nouns like theos, they'll have omicron upsilon. So that's true of both the first and second declension nouns. I don't know if you want to make a note of it or not, but it's not true of the third declension nouns. The statement is not true of the third declension nouns. But we don't know about those yet, so. Okay? Number six. If a noun has the ending omicron upsilon, it is in the genitive. Okay, from what you've seen so far, that's true. Exactly. If it's omicron upsilon ending, it's in the genitive. Okay, and I think that'll hold even through third declension. I don't want to say that for sure because there are some oddball proper nouns, proper names and so forth that'll use omicron upsilon for something else. Okay, number seven. If a noun has the ending eta sigma, it is in the genitive. False. What would be an exception to that?
Masculine.
Yeah, mathetes, masculine first declensions, the nominative form. Number eight, some feminine nouns have the ending omicron upsilon in the genitive. Is that true or false?
True.
That's true. Yeah, your second declension feminines, like hodos, it's got hodu in the genitive. So that's true. And you might, if you're putting notes down, you might not only mark it true, but mark down the form that, in other words, later on, you might go through this and say, "Well, why is that true?" You know, I want to give you the reason why it's true or why it's false as we go. And if it's obvious and you remember it, don't worry about it. But if you think you might forget that, you might put it down. Number nine: some masculine nouns have the ending eta sigma in the genitive. That's false. None of them are going to have it in the genitive. They're always going to be omicron upsilon in the genitive. But they might, mathe tes has eta sigma in the nominative. Okay, number 10. If the nominative singular of a first declension noun ends in alpha, its genitive singular ends in alpha sigma. Okay.
Unless
it's a noun. Yeah, okay. So now, if the nominative singular of a first declension noun ends in alpha, so the nominative singular, then its genitive singular ends in alpha sigma. Stop and think about that. Is that true or false? Okay, doxa is the exception there. It's false because we have the other kinds where the nominative singular. Now, for example, it's true of ones that end in a stem. When the stem ends in a row or a vowel, then it would be true. Because if stem ends in a row or a vowel, you get alpha types all the way through. So, like, chera is going to be in the nominative, nominative singular, it ends in alpha, and in the genitive singular, it ends in alpha sigma. But doxa. Those other kinds, there's a whole class of them that will have alpha in the nominative, but it'll have eta sigma in the genitive. So this is false because of the ones like doxa. Okay? Number 11. The genitive plural of all first declension nouns ends in omega nu with a circumflex accent. Well, now you have to take a look at the accent, and it's just a matter of looking at the examples here and seeing whether it's true or false. Okay? Huh? Well, we're talking only about first declension nouns. Techno and second declension.
True.
Yeah, it's true of the first declension nouns. It is true of the first declension nouns. Not true of all nouns, but it is of the first declension, the ones you've seen here anyway. And it's true of first declension nouns. We'll learn that as part of a specialized accent rule later on. Now we just want you to observe it. Okay, number 12. When an adjective modifies a noun, it always has the same ending as the noun has. False. Okay, that's just kind of... It ends up where we started in lesson 9. We mentioned that same thing. The declensions won't be necessarily the same. Okay, and then it's not even only the declensions aren't the same, but sometimes, let's say you had a feminine noun like chera, but you had an adjective like kalos. Now, in that case, even though you're both dealing with feminine, you're dealing with feminine noun and a first declension noun, the endings will not be the same all throughout the paradigm, because you might have, it'd be hey kale chera. So you've got eta and alpha. They don't rhyme. So the ending isn't going to be the same, even due to these other features. And not only they're both in the same declension, but one's using alpha type, one's using eta type. So that's another reason why they won't always rhyme. Okay. Exercise 10C. We'll do this one, and the rest of them you'll have to do on your own. In each of the three statements below, strike out the words which do not apply. Okay, taste is the... what you need to do is cross out any words that do not apply. So they give you three words here, genitive, singular, plural. So you obviously have to make a choice between singular and plural. And then masculine or feminine or neuter, forming the article. So what we want is to cross out the words that don't apply. So what you would be crossing out? Yeah, cross out the word plural, masculine, and neuter. Yeah, so what we want to end up with is the statement, taste is the genitive singular feminine form of the article. So you're going to cross out the word plural, masculine, or neuter. Okay, so taste is the genitive singular feminine form of the article. Number two, two is the genitive singular or plural, masculine, feminine, or neuter form of the article. Which is it?
Singular.
Yeah, it's genitive singular, masculine. Or neuter, right? So you want to cross out the words plural and or feminine and make the statement true. Cross out the words plural and or feminine. So two is the genitive singular masculine or neuter form of the article. Okay, then number three. Tone is the genitive plural masculine, feminine, or neuter form of the article. Okay? So all you cross out there is the word singular. It's genitive plural of every kind there is. Okay, the exercises 10D and 10E, let's see, we won't assign those necessarily because we want to finish the rest of the chapter before we do those. So we've done that part, we'll assign the other later. So if we take a look, we've got 5 minutes left, take a look back on page 57 of the textbook and section 74, as to what we do after we've done these exercises. The forms of the genitive have been presented in the preceding illustrative expressions and in the exercises 10A, 10B, 10C based upon them. The following details should be noted. Number one, feminine forms of the first declension, which have the nominative singular in alpha, have the genitive singular in alpha sigma if the alpha is immediately preceded by a row or a vowel. Otherwise, they have eta sigma. Okay, so the otherwise is those other kinds, like doxa, In other words, if you find a noun that has an alpha in the first declension ending, but it does not end in a stem, the stem does not end in row or vowel, then you know it's one of those other kinds, and you'll know that the genitive will go to eta sigma rather than alpha sigma. Okay, so examples. We've got hemera, hemeras, and chara, and charas, and ecclesia, and ecclesias, and genea, and geneas, but doxa, doxes, or I should doxes, glossa, glosses, thalassa, thalasses, trapeza, trapezes. So notice that these ones on the right here are these other kind type, and they end in an alpha in the nominative singular, but the stems do not end in a row or a vowel. Stems are always ending in consonants here, and all of them have some card. You've got a z, zeta, and double sigma, and under these conditions, the genitive form goes back to eta. You'll find that the dative form will do that too. Now, there's no rule I can give you to predict when what kinds of nouns are going to be in this other kinds category. Just a general observation: nouns that have double sigmas, the stem ends in a double sigma, are quite frequently in this condition. And then there's others like doxa and so forth. It's really hard to predict it, though. You can't say just because the stem ends in a double sigma or it ends in an XC that it's automatically going to be in this category. But that does seem to be a general observation. Number two, a few masculines of the first declension which have their nominative singular in alpha sigma have their genitive singular in alpha rather than omicron upsilon. These are for the most part proper names. You get some exceptions when you're dealing with proper names. And so Stephanas, the genitive is Stephana. Stephanas is the genitive of Stephana. So that for practical purposes, it is true to say that all masculine nouns of the first and second declension have omicron upsilon in the genitive singular. Okay. So, in other words, you will find a few exceptions in the case of proper names, but other than that, all of your masculine nouns in the first and second declension will have omicron upsilon, the genitive singular. Only exceptions will be in the case of some of these proper names and so forth, just a very few of those. Okay? And those just have to be learned. We will learn some of the more common proper name paradigms, but you'll find that their endings tend to be streamlined. They tend to have fewer. Sometimes they'll have the same form for the genitive and the dative, for example, and things like that. Okay. So that's just the only place you'll find exceptions to this general observation that they all end in omicron upsilon is in a few proper names. Section 75, the syntax of the genitive case. Now we're going to get into the meaning of what this genitive form that we've looked at means. In Greek, a noun in the genitive case may occur in the syntactic positions proper to adjectives, and has in such positions a meaning which may be reasonably subsumed under that of modification, which is expressed by adjectives in attributive positions. These semantic and syntactic characteristics of Greek nouns in the genitive are shared by the corresponding English constructions. That is, nouns in the possessive case written apostrophe S or S apostrophe, and nouns preceded by the function word of. So basically what he's saying is that a noun in the genitive case is going to function somewhat like a modifier, function somewhat like an adjective. It'll be modifying another noun, and it will generally, in English at least, come out as something. It's in the possessive case with an apostrophe S or S apostrophe type of thing, or with a preposition of. Okay? We're out of time here, so we'll have to look at the details of this next time. No other assignment for tomorrow, except maybe just to read ahead and get familiar with this next section. What's that? Next Thursday, yeah. Our next meeting is next Thursday. So get a rest, relax your brain cells so you can barrage this next section of the... Yeah, right. So get your batteries all recharged so we can crank in the genitive forms and the dative forms, and then we'll have first and second declensions down. Yeah.